CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's getting cold. Are you okay? I mean, today's meant to be the coldest day, I think, this week, and then it's going to give us a little taste of what June has got in store. So get ready, everybody. That's what the weather says. Yeah, you got to brace yourself, Sia. I know you come back to Joburg, especially for this.
Yo, Annie, are you okay? You okay, Annie?
Poor Sia decided to come back to Johannesburg on the coldest day of the year so far.
It was so funny looking at the thermometer in the car. The more further we went from Durban and the closer we came to Johannesburg. It's like, when you get to parts of the country where it's literally just a low Celsius digit, you know you're close to Gauteng.
Yeah. So how was the drive? Because you're the only one among us who's done interprovincial travel over this time. How's it looking?
For, you know, as a person who's done the drive many a time before, It just seemed like another one of those drives.
Really? No difference, huh?
As many cars on the road.
Really?
And at first I thought, no, maybe there should be more trucks and there should be less private cars. No, it was exactly the same. There were your standard amount of authorities. I won't even say the SANDF or police in particular, but just like highway patrol. So the standard amount of authorities on like two of the toll gates coming up. But then we particularly only drove through one coronavirus roadblock.
Oh, yeah?
Which was when we were entering Gauteng. Huh. But other than that, you know, nothing out of the ordinary.
And what did they do at the coronavirus roadblock? Like take your temperature?
It was very quick, very brief. No, they didn't even do that. They just asked for the driver's license. They asked for all of our permits in the car. We handed those over. And they asked what we're doing in the province. We let them know. And they said, sure, okay.
That was it.
You can go on.
Well, that sounds very good. That's not very police state-ish. I'm disappointed in the tyrants in government. You guys really have failed at tyranny.
You know, there. I guess you could say the impact was it like noticing two of the garages on the way up as well being closed. So the petrol component of the station would be open, but you couldn't go in and get some snacks along the way. But other than that, like, I was wondering, where's this major lockdown?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are saying, you know, Cyril deployed the army at some point in this process, and that's like 70,000 soldiers, according to that leaked memo, which the defense secretary was very upset about, the minister of defense, Nosiviwe Maphisanga-Makula. And they said 70,000 soldiers, and nobody seems to be able to identify where in the whole country even a large detachment of those 70,000 might be. It almost feels like we've been hoodwinked, and they're like, oh, we're going to put the army out there. But then...
Well, we've seen some in Alexander Township. We've seen some in, here in Gauteng at least, in the East Rand.
Yeah.
So we've seen images of the army or people in military fatigues on the streets, which is alarming and irritating all at the same time. But I was thinking about you and your 70% capacity in the car. So was it the three of you plus the baby, which would make 70% of a car?
Well,
I think a baby counts for like 10%, right?
Yeah, baby's more. Yeah, it can't be more than that.
You know, we were so freaked out about that. And, you know, we were carrying some stuff on the back seat as well. And since we all just panicked, so as soon as we got to the roadblock, we were like, no, and these are bags. This is not a person. And you can search our boots and it's fine.
Oh, God. What were you driving, in a van?
No, just a standard car.
Oh,
but
okay.
Because, there's so many of us and their baby stuff and whatnot. But they really weren't fazed at all. And, you know, they weren't too finicky about anything. We even actually purposefully, once we got back into, you know, suburbia, we purposefully were driving in between different neighborhoods as opposed to just, you know, taking the main road and getting home to see... are we going to get stopped anywhere else? Will we see any other heavy police authority or presence?
So once, once you'd made it through the roadblock, you then went searching for roadblocks.
Well, out of curiosity, we just wanted to see perhaps in Durban they're a little lax, in Joburg there might be more, and there's nothing.
Yeah, because you don't live in North Korea. Stop listening to these panicking fear mongers.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens if you watch the mainstream media news on television or you listen to like old school radio, you would think, oh my God, it's a state of emergency. We've got police on every corner. The army are everywhere. First of all, we know for a fact that our government is not that efficient. So even if they did decide to do all of that, it wouldn't be an efficient system. And second of all, I don't for a second believe that the lockdown has been as serious as some people have said it is. It is from the point of view of, you know, you can't run a business, for example, and you have to follow certain rules with masks or, you know, if you go to the shops or whatever. But by and large, the only places that have been victimized by the security establishment are townships. The rest of the country really hasn't been victimized. And don't give me that story about like, oh, well, they arrested a surfer or, you know, some mom jogging or whatever. Those are rare incidents that get replicated over and over by the news media to create a sense of, oh, my God, you know, we're living in North Korea. I'm with Mbulelo on this. Like the only people who've really had a shit time of this, and believe me, they were having a shit time before as well, are the townships. Everyone else,
So I went home last week to help my niece with signing on to whatever school, Google, whatever it's called, Teams or whatever. And when I drove home, I was quite intrigued to see how there were very few people on the roads. And it was definitely quieter than usual on the main roads, getting into Soweto. And
did
then
you go by Nazareth? Or do you use the highway?
No. Yeah. So I normally use the highway and then go down Deep Kloof. So go down as if you're going towards Nazareth.
Orlando.
That Showgrounds Road or whatever. And then into Deep Kloof and then down Old Potch into Pimville.
Right.
And in the suburbs themselves, so in Deep Kloof and in Pimville, there are kids playing in the streets. it's like a big holiday for them, right? They're just hanging out. So the shops were open. Some of the shops were open, as I do. I went to go buy a magwenya. And the shop was open and they were making their fat cakes and they were social distancing in the queue. And they had the sanitizer at the door. It was all working.
It was normal. It was a normal day for the compatriots.
And none of the stuff that we've heard from Alex where, you know, you've got like police patrolling around or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that stuff. There were few taxis on the road. There were definitely no street hawkers. So there were no people kind of, you know, the fruit and veg sellers on the side of the roads. Those guys weren't there. But it wasn't hectic. It was the one thing that I did notice and wondered about was it was also so much cleaner. Like the litter on the side of the road had been cleaned. And I was quite like pleased to see that. Huh. And then thinking, I hope when people come back, they stop littering.
Do you think this is all a result of more people being responsible for themselves? Or do you think it's just people who are still scared, they're just
locked inside. So they're making less mess because they're locked inside.
Oh, no. Not on the litter point, but the fact that there aren't a lot of people out, but not a lot of police presence. So do you think it's people who still have that impression of, oh, my goodness, there are lots of...
Listen, if you... if you believe the news media that Bulelo and I were just complaining about, and if you believe the government, if you just take those two groups and you take them very seriously, you are scared. I mean, if those are your main sources of information, I think you're scared.
Look, I also think it's winter, you know, so it is a lot cold. It's not like a summer day where you want to be outside, where you're having a good time. Also, there's no alcohol, so you're not like hanging out in the street.
Yeah, no one's partying or being social.
Because if it is as a result of more people just taking that responsibility for themselves to go, actually, yeah, it's not worth the fight, I'm going to stay at home, I think then our image of the country and our recklessness, or rather the lack thereof, has to change.
Well, I
deserve nice things every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we do.
We'll see.
Maybe we are behaving ourselves mostly, and maybe we shouldn't give ourselves such a hard time. I mean, we've got, I think, from next Tuesday, because obviously we go to level 3, but we're still in lockdown effectively. We will have the longest lockdown in the world as of next week. And there
I didn't know that.
Now that to me is not a good thing, because we've got the longest lockdown in the world with four.
It can't be.
It is, Pums. Italy's out of lockdown. Spain's out of lockdown. Germany's completely open. New Zealand's out of lockdown.
Whoa.
There are states in America that have never gone into lockdown. So I think we've got the longest
Wuhan was in lockdown since January.
No,
started opening up like a couple of weeks ago. That was 4 months they were in lockdown.
Yeah, we are approaching that record, and we're going to beat it. That's what it says. This is a news website that I'm reading this from. We will have the longest lockdown in the world as of next week, if we get to like the third or fourth, I think it is. So
shucks.
Either way, that's totally ridiculous. And we can't afford to be in lockdown anymore. Anyway, so here's Hugo. Hugo says, we had two Caspers and four Popo cars last week, Tuesday, driving up and down the streets.
Hey.
This is in White River in Mpumalanga.
Okay.
And we never saw them before that or since. So it was Tuesday last week. There were two Caspers and four Popo cars. And then after that, nothing. That's from Hugo in Mpumalanga.
Ooh, you
Belipolisi.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, we have
get so annoyed with that. He'll stop messaging because we make the same joke every time his name is read.
Guy is also backing me up on that. Longest lockdown in the world as of next week, and we will have the lowest deaths for that length of lockdown. So, you know, if they tell us that the deaths are still coming, then means the lockdown didn't work. And if the deaths don't come, that means we had the longest lockdown for nothing. So I don't buy this whole we did it right thing. That to me is nonsense.
Puts things into perspective then.
Yeah. See, Ed, you watched one of those episodes of Zooming with the Zoomers. Did you? Because I haven't seen it, but it's Duduzane and Getlehlekisa, and they're talking to each other, right?
You know, yeah. Where do I even begin with all of this?
Duduzane is interviewing dad.
Yes. And in the midst of, okay, let me just set the scene. Duduzane is zooming in from
Dubai.
Dubai, Khalifa building.
The Burj
Khalifa.
Burj
Khalifa.
Yeah. That's one.
Right.
So
that one, yeah, we got it.
And then we presume that our former father is in Gandla right now. But just seeing that scene, I'm like, what are you guys trying to make us watch here? What are you exactly trying to make us watch?
The whole thing is just so twisted. But I've heard some serious people telling me that Duduzane is making a very aggressive move to get into politics.
Well, the particular episode that I watched was one where they discuss the death of his mother.
Yes.
Yes. And that was episode one.
yeah, and how that affected him. And I thought, here you are after all of your scandal and
the suicide of his mother.
Yes, so recently being in court, and now Jacob, you're trying to make us spit it here.
That's the episode where Jacob went, and which one is your mother?
No, stop.
Oh, sorry, she killed herself.
Oh, wow. No, I just found the whole thing to be a little too much of a PR spin here. It's trying to change the image of who they are. It's trying to make our hearts soften a little.
They also deserve the right to defend themselves in public. And it seems that this whole country has decided that everything that was bad about us was embodied in Jacob Zuma. And since he's no longer president, everything's fine, which is very unfair. It's also untrue. And it belies just how stupid we are and how stupid the media is to be buying that narrative whole scale. You know what I don't like? Is that Jacob Zuma.
It has now been transferred
to Nkosazana. See, there has to be a bad guy in this country because we're so stupid and simplistic and binary that we see people as good or bad. And the people who've decided that Cyril is good need to have a bad for him to go up against. And in their wild imaginations, they see Nkosazana inheriting the mantle of all the evil things that have ever happened. And she's the bad person who is Jacob Zuma's ex, and therefore she is carrying on his legacy of state capture and corruption and all this other stuff. And while she is by no means my favorite person, that whole narrative is bullshit. And I'm sick of seeing people absolving everyone except Jacob Zuma, just so they can keep the narrative nice and simple. He's the bad guy, everyone else is good. The ANC's fine, it's only Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma who was a problem. It's nonsense.
So what you're saying is you aren't downplaying his role in anything that took place under his presidency, you're just saying let's look more at the bigger picture.
All that stuff is there for everyone to see, right? There have been books written about it. There, you can go through the news from all 10 years of his administration. And it's fine to do that, but you cannot avoid the fact that there are people who were in his cabinet and who were in his inner circle who are still in government, among them our current president. And you can't say, well, if Jacob Zuma was bad, then everybody else must be good. It's just so childish and simplistic. We love finding like a Duduzane the guy, for whatever it's worth, he hopped on the Gupta train and he made some serious money and he doesn't give a shit what you think of him. And he's trying to rehabilitate his and his father's reputations because he's still got a long life ahead of him. His dad still seems fighting fit. So why shouldn't he be allowed to have a chance to redeem his family name?
Because he has to pay 18 million rands for that apartment.
Well, and probably he has more than that stashed away somewhere, and probably so does his dad, but that doesn't mean that all the other people are good and that he's bad. I mean, it's just so dumb. Please don't be so simplistic and don't buy this stuff.
So do you think he's making a political run?
That's what I'm seeing. I mean, why else would he, you know, it would be fine if he was, for example, just doing, he's doing this as a public relations move. And I think he's doing it because he sees politics as being a much better long-term thing for him than business. He can't come back.
Do you think he's had a conversation with Shaka Sisulu about how badly that can all go?
Shaka Sisulu doing now? He was working for Bell Pottinger, wasn't he?
My point exactly, Gareth. Where is he? What is going on?
I'm just putting it out there to say that just because your grandfather and your father before you made a life out of politics doesn't this political thing, it's not a family heirloom.
Yeah.
You see, I think we haven't, in this country, we haven't been able to play the political game, or particularly the political legacy game, for example, like the Americans do right now. I don't think we've reached that point.
Oh, I think in certain places we have. The ANC is very, very, very political. And
but, you know, we've never looked at...
Everything about them is political. And I think they do have legacy stuff going on. I mean, we've got Lindiwe Sisulu.
Lindiwe.
You know, she's in there. And we've got Mandla Mandela. We've got... There are lots of people who are the daughters and sons and grandsons and granddaughters of stalwarts of the struggle. And they are they're working hard in the background to keep themselves relevant.
I think Lindiwe is one to watch. I think she's definitely going to make a run at Cyril's position with her legacy in the next election.
Yeah,
but we should be careful to compare like apples and apples. South Africa is in its infancy as any type of sort of democracy.
Yes,
so,
but the ANC is 100 years old. So don't be under any illusions that somehow they waited for democracy to start making the wheels turn.
No, but I think we mustn't go America with, because there's the lever between. So South Africa is very new to that, as we've seen with some of our cadres and what they've done when money and power came their way and politics came their way.
I don't see much. I really don't see much difference, Mbulelo.
Oh, fair enough.
There are families. But there are families in the US who have been in politics for 100 years.
I mean, it's very clear where it goes. The Kennedys, the Bush family, Trump now.
Yeah. Well, Trump's not a legacy guy.
But we know what his father was doing in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with the Saudis. So let's not pretend we don't know.
But not in politics.
Who pays the piper?
Please, Mbulelo, the floor is yours. Over to you. Inquiring minds want to know.
Actually, what did he do with the Saudis? I don't know anything about that.
Well, we're very aware what the Bush family...
Are we? No, the Bush family, yes, but not Trump.
Okay.
Trump's right, father didn't have... Did he have anything to do with the Saudis?
Let's not get into conspiracy theory.
You brought it up.
No, I mean, it's out there that they were selling and buying from the Saudis in the 70s and 80s.
What were they buying and selling?
He was part of the cartel that was trading weapons.
What? Trump? Trump's father?
Of course.
Please point me in the direction of one scholarly article which shows even a hint of that. As far as I can tell, Trump's dad was a real estate guy in New York. He didn't have anything to do with arms. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. This is why I said I don't want to get into conspiracy.
He's like a German.
Maybe it's just what
like
I read.
A German immigrant to America.
What does that mean? Most people in America are immigrants and first generation.
You're trying to make it sound like he has legacy. From two, three generations of being in the system, like the Kennedys. You mentioned the Kennedys and the Bushes and the Clintons. Sure.
So what's interesting is when you read about Kissinger's relationship with the Middle East, how often the Bush name comes up, Trump's name comes up. In what I read. I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. Trump has never come up with the Saudis, as far as I can tell. I mean, Bush is absolutely, but that's news to me, and I'm willing to be corrected, but it sounds like you're making that up. Here's a comment from Brendan. Brendan says, "Morning, guys. I'm from Boksburg. We also had a Casper or two with cop cars a few weeks ago, and since then, nothing. Maybe it's the same convoy that Hugo saw. It's doing a countrywide tour to make us think."
To make us think. Because coming from White River, that's how they'd have to go via Witbank. That's Mpumalanga, Witbank, Boksburg route. I see it.
We should start tracking them, see where they're stopping next, where they're taking their national tour.
So guys, I went on to, out of pure curiosity and interest, I went on to the websites of a couple of liquor distributors yesterday to just see if I could place orders. And I'm not like in a hurry to buy alcohol, but I suddenly thought, well, if I order now, let me see how many slots are open. Anyway, they don't have stock. At least three of the websites that I went to, there was no... All they have is very expensive whiskeys, like 10,000 Rand whiskeys, which you can order immediately. But if you wanted ordinary, like, you know, beers or vodka or, you know, cheap whiskey or whatever, there seems to be like a delay, obviously, in stock.
Like what? Stock out? Like they're not taking orders for that thing, or they can't deliver it in the first week of June?
I don't know, but you can't place an order. So the point is, if you're trying to order online, like some people said they were going to, it's not going to be that easy. There's going to be a delay. So we're probably talking another week. If you're one of those people who's immediately, you know, you thought, oh, I'm going to get my liquor on Monday next week. I gonna.
So you think next week's a write-off?
Are they serious about this thing of alphabeticizing the
How would you regulate that? That just seems crazy to me. I mean, I've been to Shebeens, I've been to liquor stores. There's one up the road from me. There's the big distributors. There's no way they could control all of that. Or am I being unkind?
No.
Hey, I don't know. All I know is I'm in the first half.
But are they going to have some guy at the door who normally just checks your slips? And he's going to be the guy who's like, show me your ID. And then, you know, like,
yeah, the guy that squirts you with the sanitizer. Guys, are we going to have a conversation about that sanitizer squirting thing at the door?
Yes, sis. Because yes, please.
It's quite a thing.
Listen, they squirt from one of those big squirt bottles, and it's all over your hands. And then your hands are wet when you touch the trolley, and you have to wipe them on something.
Let it air dry. What are you guys talking about?
It doesn't. Some of them have a very low concentration of the alcohol in them, so it's sticky and wet, and it actually makes it worse. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Ugh, it's actually awful, and the fact that they squirt you when you walk in and squirt you when you walk out, and then the next place, which is two doors down, also wants to squirt you. Such a thing.
Yeah, well, they all think they're making a difference, and I suppose they're just following the rules. But I'm with you, Pumi. It's annoying, and I think quite counterproductive.
So, you know, I am advocating for shopping at the smaller places, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can shop at an independent, if you can go to a butchery rather than like one big pick and pay for all your shop, if you can go to a fruit and veg, if you can go to a smaller place.
Right.
Please do, mm-hmm. because we're trying to circulate the rands, right? Mm. So I went to a cheese shop up the road here.
You are such a particular shopper. I love it. You'll trek halfway across town just for one niche store that sells spices. I'm sure you have contact base of someone who only sells masala tea.
We know about Pumi's wool shop.
Yes.
So and you know about the spice store. But guys, this is my neighborhood. This is all within like a 5-kilometer radius from my house.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were saying
the cheese store, guys. What a find! Red wine soaked cheese.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big cheese guy, but that does sound. I like specialist stores. I love that. I think it's always the sign of a mature economy, you know, where you have someone who just sells their whole business is cheese, and you find someone else whose whole business is bread. You find someone else whose whole business is photo frames. And I love shops that can do that because it means you also have enough demand in the market and there are enough people with money to keep those little shops going.
Like a high street, right? Where there are like five of these, because up the road here, there's a fruit and veg Impala chain. And next to them, there's a butchery, and next to them, there's a sweet shop. So that's really nice. But the cheese store, guys, worth a visit. It's a great store. It's in Linden. It's got all sorts of cheeses. And here's the kicker. The prices, right? So the price per kilo of what you would pay at Checkers for powder and cheddar and that kind of stuff is not, it's not particularly out of range. It's all in the same range. So it's really worth it.
That's good.
A nice, amazing. And I am advocating for these guys. Come to Linden. There's a cheese store. It's at the corner. It's wonderful.
Right.
Oh, well, wow.
Local cheeses. Also, it's local cheeses. So from local farmers. from farmers around South Africa. So there's lots of, like, it's local speciality cheese. It's
Jesus, not like crust. Parma. That's fantastic.
I appreciate that, Gareth.
Very, very Gouda. Very Gouda there, Gareth.
All right. You guys have got to know that level 3 is loading on Monday. So what does that mean? Well, the pandemic has left a lot of us wondering what is next. If you haven't registered for our So What Now webinar, which is at 12 o'clock today, there is still time. We've got marketing and advertising icon Reg Lascaris and brain and brand guru Timothy Maurice, who'll be joining me to discuss what the marketing trends are likely to be, how it will change the way in which brands communicate, and you will find the link to register on cliffcentral.com or on our Facebook post. Now, there are limited spaces available because we've got a webinar, with this webinar software, which we, it's really professional. It's fantastic. We're going to run it beautifully. I'd like you to be a part of it, but you need to register so that we can make sure you're in with those first, I think it's 2,000 people is the maximum we can take. So we've already got, I think, half of that in. And if you go in now and you join and you register, then you can be part of this webinar today. It's free. We're not going to charge you money for it, but you can hear the marketing genius of Reg Lascaris and Timothy Maurice when they talk about what the marketing trends of the future are likely to be. So also, if you're in a business and you're in charge of marketing or you you work in the marketing department, this is essential. Everybody's saying, oh, we got the, I hate this term, but the new normal. And what does that mean? And for a lot of people,
pivoting towards the new normal.
Correct. And all of that's just sounds like bullshit, but it actually, there might be some useful information we share today. Could be very helpful to you and your business. We're going to have to find ways to make marketing extra relevant and to make it work for less money. And that's kind of what we want to talk about. So if you'd like to get involved in that, register today on cliffcentral.com, or you can go to our Facebook post, which is at Cliff Central on Facebook. And if you'd like to sponsor a webinar in your industry, you can let us know. Just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Check it out today. And if you like the way we run things, then we can help you in your business to do one. And it doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money either. It's something that we all need to get into. And I know that there are invitations to webinars, but this is a good one. And, we've been doing podcasting for a long time. So what we do is we take your webinar afterwards and we turn it into a YouTube video. We turn it into shareable podcasts. We have different little clips that we can put onto newsletters, and we share those on social media as well. So if you want to see how to do a webinar properly, you want to join us today at 12. But sign up now so that you don't miss out on your chance to be a part of it. Okay, a couple of headlines. Two people have been arrested for trying to smuggle drugs worth 10 million rand from South Africa into Mozambique. Into South Africa from Mozambique. Sorry. Not the other way around. So,
Amanda, read it again.
What?
Two people?
Yeah, two people were arrested. They tried to smuggle drugs worth 10 million rand from Mozambique into South Africa.
Yes.
So a man and a woman were caught attempting to smuggle 10 million rands worth of crystal meth into SA. They were traveling together in a truck from Mozambique when they were nabbed at the Lebombo border post near Komatipoort on Monday. Police spokesperson Brigadier Leonard Lati said that police and SARS customs officials were conducting their normal duties when a white mini truck pulling a trailer en route from Mozambique stopped at the border to be processed. They searched the vehicle and they discovered makeshift compartments in both the truck and trailer stashed with suspected drugs as well as bottles of illegal liquor. I always wonder how exciting it must be for the police when they do bust someone with all the drugs and the liquor. Huh?
Does it go?
That's always a good question too, because we know it does go back into the system via the police. But imagine being those officers who find the drugs. It must be, you must feel so successful. Don't you think?
Yeah. A rush.
Yeah.
All I want, guys, is I just want Shamila Badoy at a press conference with the drugs and the drug dealers and the cops, and they're taking them away like a proper perp walk. And, you know, someone saying, we're prosecuting.
Yeah, well, Shamila Badoy is on holiday.
You know,
she's asleep at the wheel, basically. But we won't go down that street. They've basically found this 10 million rands worth of crystal meth, which was heading into the country. And there are a couple of like half jacks of gin and some weed. But it's really, I mean, 10 million rands worth of that is quite a lot.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. That's the
now
first
during the lockdown. Now. Never you lockdown. Never.
Hey. There are people running across the border from Zim with cigarettes as we speak. No, seriously, there's a video going around of that. San Parks, that is South African National Parks, they have said none of their rangers or other employees have tested positive for COVID-19. Acting head of communications, Ray Tlakuli, says that the game reserve is ready to reopen its parks the moment it is allowed to do so. We want to make sure that our visitors, our guests in the parks, come back. They miss being there. We also miss them, and we know that you really miss seeing our visitors. But we hope we will be able to open up soon at whatever level is advised by government. You know, we're ready if we're told tomorrow you can open. So he said, we do communicate with our employees in terms of how they can keep themselves safe. We have employees based in various places, and they are really keeping track of what you call social distancing and all that kind of thing, observing the protocols that are in place. So good news, Sandparks say they're ready to reopen at government's word, and let's hope that word comes soon.
And listen, we have an incredible National Parks Board worldwide. They are revered.
Yeah, and it's also a major source of revenue for the country, and not just revenue for the country, but revenue for those people who work in those parks. I mean, really, Mpumalanga, apart from farming, the park is probably the biggest employer. So,
sure, but remember that they look after parks in the whole country.
Yes,
Sand parks,
yes,
are just
including
phenomenal.
The Karoo National Park, which is the most amazing views of the sky, night sky, mm-hmm. Which is why the SKA is there.
Yes. So lots of excitement if they can get back to opening up the parks. It's probably the only traveling any of us in South Africa will do in the next year or two, so make sure that you explore. The easing of lockdown regulations as some countries start to reopen their economies has provided a welcome boost to the rand. That and the decision by ratings agency S&P to keep us at junk. I'm just going to remind you, like, we're excited about being kept at junk. The local unit strengthened as much as 5.2% last week. It's continued its rally, opening at 17.57 to the dollar on Monday morning, strengthening as much as 17.53 before trading at 17.67 by late afternoon. Small, what do they call these? Small wins.
Yeah, got to cling onto those as much as possible.
Yeah, the rand is at 17.67. Is that worth celebrating? Are we excited about that? The rand, is that the rand strengthening 17.67? Jesus, that means forget about it. If you're buying dollars right now, it's crazy, right? Jesus.
So what's the crypto doing these days?
Well, Bitcoin's at $8,925. It's looking okay, but not runaway success. Ethereum is about $204. BBC are reporting this morning, and this is a different sort of story, not to do with the lockdown or science, or coronavirus. Sir Richard Branson has come out to say that the Virgin Orbit rocket has failed on its debut flight. How disappointing. The booster was released under the wing of one of the UK entrepreneur's old jumbos, which had specially been converted for the task. The rocket engine ignited seconds later, but an anomaly meant the flight was terminated early. Virgin Orbit's goal is to try to capture a share of the emerging market for the launch of small satellites. It's not clear at this stage what precisely went wrong, but the firm had warned that the chances of success were only 50-50. And you know how much that costs, right?
Oh, I don't even want to.
Sure. I think they're only getting this type of spotlight on them because it's something with the Richard Branson name attached.
Yeah, he's had the worst.
Do you really think you'd get a rocket business all up in track on the first try?
No, but you see, also, I mean, his Virgin businesses are really in big trouble all over the world, especially the airline, obviously. And they don't deserve to be getting this opprobrium, but it's because everywhere in the world, travel's been pretty much ended. So,
and let's be clear, NASA fail all the time, by the way.
Yeah, we just never hear about it.
So Exactly. So it's nothing to be afraid of.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah. Excuse me, Gareth, you just gave me the word of the day there. Opprobrium.
Oh, you like that, Sia.
Harsh criticism. Mm-hmm. Public disgrace arising from shameful conduct. Ooh.
How would you use that in a sentence, Sia, today?
Sis Pumi, what I heard about your opprobrium over the weekend. No.
That makes sense.
Does it make sense?
It's okay. Branson failed with his rocket the first time. You failed with your word the first more. Time.
You know what, Sis Pumi? You deserve to let your hair down over the weekend. I don't think you deserve this opprobrium against you.
There we go.
Well done.
And then the global warming crew are out guns blazing again because they never miss the opportunity to take advantage of a crisis. The International Energy Agency has called on governments to put clean energy at the heart of their coronavirus economic recovery plans. Everybody in the world who wants cheap energy and doesn't give a shit about how much fossil fuel we put into the atmosphere, put your hands up, because you're not going to be able to afford any of the renewable clean energy that they're trying to persuade us to do after this. In fact, we may even all in the whole world go back to coal and oil, because it's pretty much all we can afford. So I don't know how, but the IEA has warned that lockdown measures would have far-reaching consequences as the world grapples with a crisis that has sent energy demand plummeting and threatens a deep economic contraction. You don't say. The agency, which has expected 2020 to be a bumper year for green energy, slashed its two-year forecast for growth in renewable capacity by 10%. Yeah, because it's expensive to produce. And there is less of it once you've produced it. So there's something to be thinking about too. I did something cool yesterday. I got out there and I was chopping down trees and clearing bush and mess and picking up rubbish and tidying up my own little neighborhood.
Gareth, you must be one of the most productive people during this lockdown.
So see, I looked out at the view and I thought, you know what, this can be improved. And I have tools in the garage. I got a saw, I got an axe, I got some clippers and garden shears and all of that stuff. And I decided to do something because it drives me crazy. I'm not one of those people who can sit and watch TV. I promise you, during lockdown, and this is not a word of a lie, the only time the TV's been on is when Cyril makes one of his famous addresses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little TV that must be 15 years old that I have in my study. That's the only time that has been on. It's got a horrible reception, so it goes quish, quish, every now and then. And otherwise, my TV is used for playing music. And I've turned on my TV downstairs, the only other TV I have in the house. I've turned it on twice during lockdown. That's it. So I would rather be outside chopping things down and cleaning things up. And, you know, I filled up 3 black rubbish bags with just crap that was lying around near my house.
Wow.
And it's not even on my property, so I'm not clearing up other people's mess. But I just couldn't stand looking at this mess anymore. And I've still got work to do. I've got to spend at least another day or two doing some tidying up. But it felt good afterwards. And, you know, you're out in the sun. And in winter, it's important to do that.
In the brisk air.
Yeah, I felt good.
Because yesterday was a little bit like...
Yeah, it was chilly.
For the garden.
I felt good about it afterwards. And I know that it's something all of us can do. And Pumi was saying earlier there's less litter around when she drove into Soweto. I mean, this is a great time for us to just take pride in ourselves and tidy up our environment. While everyone else is hunkering down and hiding inside, this is your chance. You can go out on your own, and with a stick, you can pick up litter. I mean, it's not a difficult thing to do. And then you can go back into your house afterwards and you can feel proud that you've done something, not just for you, but for everyone around you. I mean, you're not going to be able to solve global warming, but you can tidy up your own house.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Start where you are. Start with what's around you.
People always want to change the world. I'm like, well, how about you first tidy up the disgraceful mess you live in?
if you live in a mess, it tells you what you think of yourself.
Exactly.
And those aren't my words.
Whose words are they?
My old lady.
She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah. She says, honestly, she says, psychologically, if you live in a mess, if you're happy to be in a mess, that's what you think of yourself.
Yeah, you don't have any pride in yourself.
Yeah, those words haunt me every day.
Gareth, is this still part of like, and I assume you have a list of things to do or that you wanted to do during the lockdown?
See, I had a list at the beginning. I've ticked off, I'd done 80% of them in the first 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then
but
I had,
Gareth,
I really
what is it? Are you a lumberjack now?
I am, and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. I cut down trees and eat my lunch. I go to the lavatory. On Wednesday, I love that shopping yes. And I've buttered scones for tea. He puts down trees, eats his lunch. He likes to press wildflowers, puts on women's clothing, and hangs around in bars.
And there's suspenders and a bra. There was suspenders and a bra.
That's right. That's in another verse.
That's Monty Python, by the way.
But honestly, if you have 5 minutes to spare today, take a look around and identify some project you can do. It will make you feel better because you can't do anything about the lockdown, right? You can bitch and complain and moan. And you can send out emails and write open letters. And you can moan to your friends and family on WhatsApp. But if you actually want to feel good and feel how much of a difference you can make, start at home. Fix a crack in the wall. Vacuum a part of the room that you've seen cobwebs in. Sort something out in your own life. You're not going to be able to solve the world's problems, but you can solve some of yours.
Whoa. What are you saying? Are you telling me there are people who have probably never vacuumed all this lockdown?
Pumi.
This OC is not coming.
Pumi, there are people who are for the first time discovering how hard it is to clean their house.
Well, that's in the sofa.
I like cleaning, so for me it's not a problem. I do it in my spare time. I won't clean other people's houses, but I'll clean my own. And when I see dust on a lampshade or if I see something that is out of place, then I tidy it and fix it straight away. Some people don't like doing that. But if you're living in this house of yours and you've been in there for 10 weeks at the end of next week, right? End of this week, rather. 10 weeks you've been in your house and it still looks like a hovel and you've made no effort to improve it. You've made no effort to just clean it up and tidy it up. Then you're basically disgraceful. I have no respect for people like that.
Mulelo, if you didn't have a physical list of things that you wanted to accomplish during the lockdown, even just if it's a mental vague one, what percentage do you think you've completed?
Jeez, it was a short list. I had 3 books I wanted to finish, and I wanted to be in a certain physical shape. So it's probably 60% complete.
Have you achieved that?
2 books, and physically I'm not...
I looked in the mirror this morning. Some work to do there, man.
Oh, well, I'm not feeling that bad about myself, but yeah. I'm not where I want to be.
You didn't just get a chill from the cold, Gareth.
Yeah. No. Here's a message for you, Pumi, from Charmaine. She says, please tell Pumi that I only washed the bottom part of my legs this morning just to try.
Oh, Lord.
And even out the score for her. So there we go, Pumi.
Oh, Gosiam. You guys, I'm telling you now, this life that you, this shame of a life you people are living, not cleaning your houses,
I'm envisioning
cleaning your gardens.
I'm envisioning a new show prospect here.
Yeah?
Till Judge Pumi. But don't think of it in line of Judge Judy. No, we just send out this Pumi out to, you know, people's way of life, people's houses, and she just stands there judging.
Yeah, well, she would be good at it. And there's lots to judge, trust me. Half the reason I watch any of those shows that are on TV when I do watch TV is just so that I can see how people live. Because some people, you know, they'll be commenting...
Like hoarders.
Yeah, that stuff just freaks me out. Like, I can't understand how people can live with a room full of shit that's piled up to the roof. And you're like, first of all, if you sold all that stuff, you could actually make some money and you wouldn't be in poverty. And second of all, why? How can you live with a big room full of mess in your house? It's just crazy.
It is crazy.
Dude. Especially, and now you've had time to tidy it up. I mean, what excuse do you have? When we come out of lockdown, there are going to be people who still have a mess going on in their lives. And I'm going to be unsympathetic to the extreme because you have weekends. I mean, lockdown itself means probably a lot of people have done much less work than usual. Second of all, you've had the weekends where you haven't been able to socialize or do the things that you might have done before. So if you sat at home and you just let the mess gather around you, I don't have any sympathy for you anymore. From now on, I'm going to actively ridicule you. And that's why Pumi and her show that we're going to launch, Judging with Pumi.
Like the old tins of stuff that are in your cupboard that you haven't thrown out.
Yes.
That's the stuff.
It's the German in Pumi.
Good morning, guys, from Temba. Temba says, this is the first time listening live. It's pretty cool. I always listen to the podcast. I'm looking forward to the webinar today. Yeah, Temba, I hope you've got your registration.
Yeah, well.
Join us. That'll be fun. Here is a message. This is from Brendan, who said, if Hugo... Here, let me just play this.
Hello, Gareth. This is Pennywise.
Hi, Gareth. This is Pennywise the clown. That's hilarious. Okay. Screw you, Brendan. I never liked that movie, It.
Sia, how much of your list have you done?
Oh. Full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 40%.
Oh.
No, you know what? It's I got to a point where I actually said some of these things you need to just completely wipe out of your life. Like, it's not going to happen. Not that I've given up and I have no will for life, but it's just like, no, it is not going to happen. You are not going to be able to have, you know, 15 close friends in your life at one time that you'll be able to FaceTime every single day. You are not going to be able to be the next Martha Stewart and learn how to actually be comfortable in front of a stove. It's part of just an acceptance. Like, you know what? It's not for you, Sia.
Good for you.
Your talent lies elsewhere, hopefully, but just get rid of all of those things. It's not going to happen. You know, one of the things that I'd set out to do is... No, I'm sure we all have all of these books that we've bought and, you know, one day I'll get to it. And part of a challenge that I've always put on myself is to also broaden my interests and to broaden what I consume, you know. So I've bought these heavy business books and these, you know, very thought-provoking things. And I've just also accepted that, not for me. Not that it, once no. again, that I don't want to know better.
Don't
not
feel
that I'm
bad.
Stretching myself.
Let me tell you something. Those business books are some of the most boring things you will ever read in your life. And I don't know how they sell like they do. It's obviously people who think that there's some secret in there that's going to make them rich. Because those business books are boring.
You know, everyone talks about Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Ugh.
I think in every seventh TED talk, someone will reference it. So it's always been on that bucket list of, I have to read it. I tried. I didn't get into that.
Yeah.
I once again tried to pick up Robin Sharma's 5 a.m. Club. I couldn't get into that again.
No.
So I've just written so many things off.
Do you
feel like you're a better person post-lockdown, Sia?
I'm a more real person.
Well, I mean, if you feel like you haven't read enough books, because some of us had goals like Bulelo's, and he's read two out of the three books he wanted to read. I haven't finished any books, but I did complete that course in Egyptology that I told you about, and that's just because I'm really interested in it. If there was a book that I was really, really keen on, I probably would have made it through. But someone said to me last week on one of the Zoom calls I was on, they're a big reader, voracious reader. But during lockdown, they've been so distracted and a little depressed about being stuck at home and not having any choice in the matter that they actually haven't enjoyed reading and have struggled to concentrate. So if you could be honest with yourself and say that that's the reason that you're not reading, that's fine. Don't put extra pressure on. And, you know, I'm one of those people who likes lists. And I make lists and then I tick them off as I go through them. But that's not for everybody. Some people find that stuff tedious and irritating, and they go, oh, these people with all these goals. And I get that. Like, not everyone's the same. Some of us like to tick things off the list. Some of us like to chill. It's just different strokes.
Yeah, you know, personal discipline is a brutal business. So I'm not talking across the board. Just even one thing. If you say, I'm going to wake up at this time, exercise, eat this. But people thought they could just turn that light on. If you don't intend to make it a part of your life for the rest of your life, it just, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. And I hate to say it.
Yeah, then maybe it's not for you. And yeah. some people don't, you know, it's not a question of success or failure. For some people, a good life is being able to watch 12 episodes of your favorite TV show in a row and eat a bowl of popcorn. And then at the end of the day, go, you know what? I deserved that day. And
100%.
And that's fine. I'm certainly not going to judge you for that. And you don't have to think that I'm an idiot or that I'm brilliant for having spent 4 hours chopping trees down yesterday. It's totally up to you how you decide to do things. And if you have spent your lockdown being a bit lazy, so what? Don't let anyone make you feel bad about that.
And then, Sispumi, what about you and your list?
Yeah, I've gotten through my list, and then I started something that wasn't even on my list. That's new, a new experience for me.
Oh, yeah?
I told you this. Because I was sewing stuff. I was sewing cushion covers and all of that. So I decided to try crocheting because I needed something with texture. So I'm crocheting 2 cushion covers, and I'm halfway.
Sure.
Which was fascinating.
You know how nice that is.
I looked up a pattern and all of that kind of stuff.
You're gonna see that cushion every day you walk into your house. It's gonna make you so happy. Honestly, I love that. Like when I've painted something or I've fixed something or I've tidied something up or I've hung something on the wall, man, it just makes me feel happy to see it every day.
Yeah, it's so for me what lockdown did was it gave me, I think I told you guys this, that I untethered myself from the clock, right? Because I don't have to get up and go anywhere, except if I've got a Zoom meeting that I have to attend.
By appointment.
Thing became, I did it whenever. So if I was up at 3 a.m. because I can't sleep, I would get up, watch something or read something or do something. And if I'm sleepy and tired at 11, then I would just have a nap. And so living in a 24-hour cycle completely freed me from the stress of insomnia. So you feel like when you're not sleeping, you're so worried that you're going to oversleep when you finally do fall asleep again. So that was crazy and hectic, and it's been nice to be able to get enough sleep because I can sleep whenever. The routine, obviously, because I have a child who eats 3 times a day astoundingly. So you have like and school and all of that kind of stuff, so there's a routine and exercise and cleaning the house, once a week doing the garden, all of that kind
of
stuff.
That's a lot of work. I mean, you're pacing yourself, and you're not fixing a schedule to it, but you're getting it all done. That's magic.
But it's so nice. It's so nice to be able to just do stuff and not freak out about the fact that it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I have to get up and run
when you have to talk to us every Tuesday morning. That was like, 6 o'clock.
But that's still like a 4:30, get up, shower, brush your teeth, get ready so that you're ready for it. Yeah. That's the only, but that's like a Zoom meeting. That's the same as when you're on a Zoom call for whatever reason. But other than that, guys, the 24-hour cycle worked for me.
Well,
I might just keep that.
We've got some fun stuff coming up for you in the next hour, including our new episode of Blind History. I think we've only got one more left after this, so you better be ready. It's going to be exciting. The last episode of season 3, and then maybe we should start talking about season 4. So if you have ideas, you can email me gareth@cliffcentral.com. We've also got Ralph Fletcher, who's the CEO of Topco Media, joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about a series we're doing with them called Business Unusual, the Topco Business Unusual podcast series. We'll chat to Ralph and find out who he's going to interview and what kinds of things we could look forward to in that series. Don't forget to register for our webinar at 12 o'clock today with Reg Lascaris and Timothy Maurice. It's going to be very exciting. So all of that and more on the way in the next hour. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. CliffCentral.com.